Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 203, stanzas 1, 3, and 5. In sweet communion, Lord, with Thee, I constantly abide. My hand Thou holdest in Thy own to keep me near Thy side. 1, 3, and 5 of Psalter 203. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Gospel according to Mark, and thereof the 14th chapter, verses 12 through 25. Verses 12 through 25 of Mark 14. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Mark 14, beginning with verse 12. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, Where wilt thou that we go and prepare, that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the goodman of the house, The master saith, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared, there make ready for us. And his disciples went forth, and came into the city, and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And in the evening he cometh with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful, and to say unto him one by one, Is it I? And another said, Is it I? And he answered and said unto them, It is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it, and gave to them and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Peter van Worthuizen, who were blessed with a well-born child in this past week. Also Jeremy van Heichenbos, who must receive surgery this coming Friday. Mr. Kees Alleman, who has undergone treatments in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, thou who knowest each and every one of thy true church, whom thou hast called by their names, out of nature's darkness into thy marvelous light, then we hear something in thy holy word of that way wherein thou dost instruct them, that is, in the knowledge of themselves, that they ask of thee each one by one, Lord, is it I? And then it is their expectation that they will be exposed as the hypocrite in the end, having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. And so it is necessary for thee, and that thou givest unto thy people that assurance of that faith in which thou hast planted in their hearts, but which they have no ability to exercise in and of themselves. Oh, that thou may look upon each and every one of thy own dear children in this day. Oh, and we have heard a little in this morning of those ways of the Lord, that they are mysterious ways, and they are ways that are not understood by them here below so often. But when they will come to the end of that journey, then they will sing of those ways. Lord, may thou give that the beginning of that song may be sung by moments also here in the midst of us, and that we and our children may be partakers of that blessing that we cannot do without. Oh, instruct us in the pathway that leadeth unto life eternal. Then it is necessary that we go through a straight gate, and that we are walking upon a narrow way. And Lord, then it is not our desire by nature, then it is our desire to walk upon a broad way, to take in every so-called pleasure and entertainment of this world, and still to receive the blessing of thy people for that never-ending eternity. But these two go not together. Oh, that we may be instructed therein. For when thou wilt plant thy fear in our heart, oh, then that the ways of that broad way shall become loathsome unto us. Then we shall desire to flee all that the world calls pleasure. Oh, that thou may look upon us and upon our dear children, that even as we are going through this life, in that state in which we have been born, that we may not so have to go out of this life. Lord, oh, grant new life in the midst of us, and new ones born in Zion. There was a little child born in the midst of a family in our midst. In the week that is gone by, thou hast made it well thus far with mother and with child, that it may be also a child born to be born again, and that we may yearn as parents for that blessing upon our children, that we may be given faithfulness to instruct them each and every one, but especially that we may receive to gather a place upon our knees before thee, because we are so full of shortcomings in the bringing up of our children. Lord, if it depended upon us, then it would be impossible for the coming generation. But thine arm is not shortened that cannot save, and thine ear that is not heavy that it cannot hear. Oh, may thou give then that new birth in the midst of us as a congregation, amongst the children and the youth also. Oh, look upon them, even as they are traveling in a world that is so full of the subtleties of the prince of darkness, who has the experience of 6,000 years, in drawing men to perdition. Oh, that thou may give them that keeping from above. Oh, give them a place at thy footstool to beseech thee, that thou would place thy fence and thy wall about them, that they also may be kept by thee. Strengthen all those that have any part in the bringing up of them. Oh, be with our school, the principals, the teachers, and all that labor therein. May thou be on the right and on the left hand, and wilt thou bless that instruction to our rising generation, and be with those that are not able to go to our own school. Lord, may thou also keep them from all the dangers, and wilt thou strengthen all that labor in that most responsible work. Oh, give us to feel the weight of the souls of our children more and more, that we may not live so careless as we go over this world, and that our own soul may also be laid upon us as a burden when we are walking without concern and without care in this world. Lord, then it may it be the time of thy good pleasure in this afternoon to stop this one or that one upon our way and to say, thus far will ye go, but no further. O Lord, that thou may give, that one may come in truth upon their knees, that one may come in truth into the prison, that will make come in truth in the depth of self-abasement, that there may be joy in heaven this day over one sinner that repenteth. Strengthen each and every one of thy own children in the calling wherein thou hast called them. Wilt thou give a freedom to speak of thy ways unto the rising generation? Wilt thou give instruction that they may be led further upon the pathways of free and sovereign grace? Lord, that thou may lead them from strength to strength, from resting place to resting place, and that they may be continually looking up unto thee for all their help, and that Satan may be put away in all his desire to disturb that rest and that peace that belongeth unto the church of God. Wilt thou be with all thy sent servants? Remember all those that are truly thrust forth by thee into thy vineyard, here in this country, but also in the whole world. Lord, wilt thou remember especially those who are persecuted this day for conscience' sake? Oh, that thou may strengthen and encourage them, and may thou give them to experience something of thy nearness. Wilt thou give us also, as we do live in a country of freedom, where we may gather a Sabbath after Sabbath day, not to despise these great blessings, and that thou may preserve them yet amongst us, for us and our dear ones, and that our own rulers may be turned by thee to seek and to serve thee, the true and the living God. Lord, draw us. We will run after thee. That was the desire of thy bride, who could not draw herself, but desired to run. Lord, may thou then look upon each and every one. Be with all the afflicted in this whole world, and those that suffer from serious diseases, those that are in the midst of warfare, and places that are torn by of famines and by pestilences and by calamities in this world. And when they are not able to know from where they come, and because they hear not of thy name, Lord, may thou give that thy word may go even unto the ends of this world, and that the nations may be taught and instructed, and that thou may receive all the glory and the honor when they shall come from the east and from the west, and be with our own missionaries and all those that labor far from their loved ones. And may thou supply in the needs and the cares of each and every day. Be with those that are fighting on the battlefields. Be with them in the week again to come. That thou would keep them from danger. And that thou would bring them safely home to their loved ones in thy time. Hide them, Lord, under the shadow of thy wings. And do comfort all those that mourn. Do look upon a young child and that must receive surgery in the week to come. Oh, be on the right and on the left. And wilt thou give skill unto the physicians? May thou give a prayer in the heart of these parents. And may thou also gladden us with thy deeds. And also him who has become old and yet must receive treatments. Lord, thou knowest what he has undergone in the week gone by. May thou bless all that has taken place. And may thou supply for him in the unknown future. But wilt thou prepare him for that great meeting with thee. Do remember our brother elder who has gone to the mission field. May thou be on his right and left also and bring him safely to us once again. And so may thou remember young and old, great and small, and that are in this world. Wilt thou supply for us in this afternoon hour, that we may feel something of thine everlasting arms underneath, and that we may feel something of thy presence. But above all, Lord, that thou would give that it may be blessed, and that this one or that one in the midst of us may take something home, and that it may be for an eternal blessing for a never dying soul. Oh, bind that matter upon us. Forgive and take away all that is sinful. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 227, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord of hosts, how lovely thy tabernacles are. For them my heart is yearning in banishment afar. My soul is longing, fainting, in thy sacred courts to see. My heart and flesh are crying, O living God, for thee. The last collection today is for the building fund. Psalter 227, 1, 2, and 3. Thank you. congregation, a child is a gift of God. So we may have family in our midst that may experience this also in this past week. In our world, then a child is not seen as a gift of God. But men would attempt to stand in the way of the Lord. May that not be the practice in the midst of us. There are those who, in a greater way, must experience that a child is a gift of God. Rebecca, we read in the Word of God, was barren. And she and her husband did go upon their knees to seek offspring from the Lord. What a great happiness then there was in the heart of these two when their cry was answered. That is, Rebecca may know that she was with child. And yet, in the time to come, then we can read that Rebecca believes that something is not right. There is something, she says, that is unnatural. This is something that I feel that is different than it ought to be with one that is with child. Thus, is this to go smoothly? Is this really an answer to prayer? Is this really, truly a child from the Lord? If it be so, she says, why am I thus? Why do I feel thus? Why this struggle in my womb? And so we also heard this morning that God's children get themselves back again. When the Lord has given to them a blessing, when they have rejoiced in that blessing, and when they have spoken of that blessing, and then afterwards questions, turmoil. If it be so, why am I thus? And what do we read of Rebecca? That she went to inquire of the Lord. That is the place of every one of God's true church. With all the turmoil of their heart. And it is no different today than it was then. And the Lord is also not ignorant of the turmoil that is in the life of His people. And for that reason, He has taken measures For the sake of that people as they are going through this world. One of those measures we wish to begin to consider in this afternoon, that is the Holy Supper of the Lord. Out of Lord's Day 28. Lord's Day 28, questions 75 through 77. Question 75. How art thou admonished and assured in the Lord's Supper that thou art a partaker of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross and of all his benefits? Answer thus, that Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat of this broken bread and to drink of this cup in remembrance of him, adding these promises: first, that his body was offered and broken on the cross for me, and his blood shed for me, as certainly as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me, and the cup communicated to me, and further, that he feeds and nourishes my soul to everlasting life with his crucified body and shed blood, as assuredly I receive from the hands of the minister and taste with my mouth the bread and cup of the Lord as certain signs of the body and blood of Christ. Question 76. What is it then to eat the crucified body and drink the shed blood of Christ? Answer: it is not only to embrace with a believing heart all the sufferings and death of Christ, and thereby to obtain the pardon of sin and life eternal, but also, besides that, to become more and more united to his sacred body by the Holy Ghost who dwells both in Christ and in us, so that we, though Christ is in heaven and we on earth, are notwithstanding flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, and that we live and are governed forever by one Spirit, as members of the same body are by one soul. Question 77. Where has Christ promised that he will as certainly feed and nourish believers with his body and blood as they eat of this broken bread and drink of this cup? Answer: in the institution of the supper, which is thus expressed: the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." This promise is repeated by the holy apostle Paul, where he says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, because we are all partakers of that one bread." So far, our Lord's Day. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper, first, the admonishment and assurance in the Lord's Supper. Second, the blessed significance of the Lord's Supper, and thirdly, the holy institution of the Lord's Supper. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper, first, the admonishment and assurance in it. Second, the blessed significance of it. And thirdly, the holy institution of the Lord's Supper. How art thou admonished and assured in the Lord's Supper? Thus, we hear about an admonishment and an assurance. We have heard of this before. That is, when we have heard about holy baptism, and we heard that it was for those who were weak in faith. Thus, the Lord is taking care of the faith which he has planted in the heart of his own church. And why should the Lord take care of that faith? Because that is a faith which is to his honor, to his glory. And indeed, it is a faith which is not able to be exercised by the church alone, but it is necessary that the strength for that faith is coming from above. How art thou admonished and assured in the Lord's Supper that thou art a partaker of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross and of all his benefits? We hope for 3 weeks now to hear something of the Holy Supper. In Lord's Day 30, and then we hope to hear something of the true partakers of the Lord's Supper. But we hear already that to partake of that Holy Supper is not the portion of the entire congregation. And then our instructors are setting before us the object of the faith of that church which is addressed in that Holy Supper. Thus we have laid before you something in the past of the several objects of faith that are in the heart of that true church. In other words, boys and girls, what is it? What is it that the Lord is giving his church to believe? And then it does not begin with that object that we read here, but it is a beginning with a believing in God. Do you believe in God? When the Lord will give us true conversion, then we will begin to believe in God. But what is that object of faith that our instructors are speaking about here that is more than a believing in God, that is more than a believing in his word? But we read here about the one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. Thus, that is an object that was not yet in the sight of that pilgrim as he was departing out of that city of destruction. No, he could not see it, he said, though it was pointed out to him. And so even in the beginning of that way, and then this object of faith is still not yet known even by that true church.
But we read of that pilgrim that he had to come by that Mount Sinai. And afterwards, something of this object was revealed, was opened unto him, even at that wicked gate. And thus, something, even if it is the smallest exercise of that faith, something needs to be revealed. Something needs to be shown unto that church, that they may be enabled to partake of that holy supper of the Lord in the way that the Lord has commanded it in its institution. And then at the same time, and when the Lord is speaking about this object of faith, then at the same time, then he is declaring and that the faith of that church in that object, and that can be so small that it is necessary that the Lord is giving strength unto that faith. That is the whole end and purpose of the Lord in the institution of that blessed supper of the Lord. Thus, the Lord's Supper, that has to do with the chief concern of that true church. And what is the chief concern of that true church? And what ought to be the chief concern of each and every one of us, even when we are young? Because the young can also die. Well, our chief concern that ought to be, do I also have a saving interest in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross? Thus our fathers, they say, am I a partaker of that sacrifice, that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross, and of all his benefits? So Newton wrote, "'Tis the point I long to know. Am I his, or am I not?" Is that congregation now the point that you long to know? Am I his, or am I not? Because with all our mental knowledge of the meaning of that holy sacrament, we can still go lost. Am I his, or am I not? Do we then come to that holy supper of the Lord that we may receive an answer unto this question? No, we do not. No, we must examine ourselves before that this Lord's Supper is taking place. And therefore, in that sermon that is going before that holy supper, must be laid out for the whole congregation the marks which belong unto the true people of the Lord, that I may know where that I stand on the inside or on the outside. And when those marks are missing in our life, then we need to be honest. And we may not partake of that holy supper of the Lord. But when we cannot deny that we know something of those marks, then we also must be honest. Oh, may the Lord then give freedom that we also may be brought unto that holy supper of the Lord. But what then is the purpose of the Lord's Supper? Why then must we have the Lord's Supper if we must have the assurance and before did we even come to the Lord's Supper? No, congregation, that is now just the point. That is just the point. No, we do not have to have that assurance. But what we said is that we cannot miss those marks. And those are now two different things. No, because we cannot deny that certain things have taken place in our life. Because do you know how that is, young people? When you were young, then there are certain things that you can remember. That you say, I remember when we went to this place, I remember when we went to that place, and I remember so precisely what happened. That is the way it is in the life of God's people. That then when they are looking back in their life, that they must say that I cannot deny that I remember this place in my life and that I remember that place in my life. But when a person may say this, then it does not mean that he has in himself the assurance that sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is now for him. Or it can be that there are things that we cannot deny. And yet in the condition of our life, we still stand on the outside of that true people of the Lord. Even when the Lord may reveal something of himself unto us in our life. In answer to the need that is laying in our heart, that burden that is upon us, that we cannot see any way. Or even when the Lord may open something of that free and that sovereign grace, oh, then that still does not mean that afterwards our heart may not be filled with so many questions and so many doubts, especially in that warfare, that we do not become like Rebecca, who says, if it be so, why am I thus? Why this evil heart of mine? Why this dull and lifeless frame? Why do I go over this world just as if nothing has ever happened in my life? And why is it that which I knew of that hunger and that thirst after God, and when I was young maybe, why is it that has seemed now to so disappear? But the Lord would admonish. The Lord would assure his fearful people, for whom that matter is actually too great for them to receive, that the Lord will admonish them, that he will assure them that they are indeed partakers of that one sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And therefore, he gives unto his church certain signs, outward signs, bread and wine in the Lord's Supper. They are things and that they can see with their eyes, they can handle with their hands, that they can taste with their mouth. And when we can see it, and when we can feel it, and when we can taste it, then then there is a certain certainty about these signs. Then there is no one that may deny that they see and that they feel and that they taste. And what does the Lord now do for that simple people? Well, the Lord takes now these signs in which there is such a certainty for their physical life here below. And the Lord connects them. He connects them to the blessed signification, to the blessed meaning of which these signs represent. And then in the certainty of the use of these outward signs, the Lord is proclaiming from heaven the certainty of the things that these signs are signifying. He says, as certainly as I see with my eyes, as assuredly as I receive from the hands of the minister, as certainly as I can taste this with my mouth. That is the way that the Lord will give certainty unto his children. And then it is not only that it is in those signs, but that it is the promise of God which he has connected to that sacrament, to that use of those signs. And because it is the promise of God that these signs receive the character of a seal, of an assurance, of a certainty in the heart of his children. Thus, that promise of God that is lying sure in the Godhead, in that triune God, because God is not a man that he should lie, and neither is he the Son of Man that he should repent. What is it then that the Lord is signifying by these signs? That is our second thought. Adding these promises, first that his body was offered and broken on the cross for me, and his blood shed for me, and further that he feeds and nourishes my soul to everlasting life with his crucified body and shed blood. Thus that assurance in that holy supper of the Lord that is going about the interest of the true church in that sacrifice of Christ. And that is the reason that that work of preparation in the week before the Lord's Supper, that is now so important. You realize that without faith, that it is impossible to receive the blessing which the Lord is bestowing in the Holy Supper. But if a person may have that inward testimony from the Lord, that now means everything. Thus, those that partake rightly, thus those that partake with examination, thus those that partake in an honest manner, they are receiving from the Lord the comfort of his promise. And what is it that that promise contains? That is that everything that Christ has done in that mediatorial work, that is not alone for my neighbor, but that now is also for me. His body was offered and broken on the cross for me, and his blood shed for me.
Congregation, does not everything lie in this?
Is that not everything for this time and for eternity? Is it not true, if we may know this, that so we can live, we can go through the rest of our life? And not only go through the rest of this life, but that also we can go out of this life, if we may only know that sacrifice was also for me. Is that not now the greatest desire of the church of God, that they may be assured that this is so?
That is why that the Lord's Supper is so important.
That is why that the Lord has commanded that supper that be commemorated time after time for the church in this world.
But our instructors also go further to explain what that is, to eat and to drink the body and that blood of Christ. It is not only to embrace and with a believing heart all the sufferings and death of Christ, and thereby to obtain the pardon of sin and life eternal, but also, besides that, to become more and more united to his sacred body by the Holy Ghost, who dwells both in Christ and in us, so that we, though Christ is in heaven and we on earth, are notwithstanding flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, and that we live and are governed forever by one Spirit, as members of the same body are, by one soul. Thus the Lord's Supper, that is speaking about a union. That is a union, we read here, between Christ and his church. What did the Lord Jesus say in John 6? Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. What kind of eating is that? That is an eating by faith. Boys and girls, you can understand that. When you eat something, then that becomes part of you. Thus, to eat, that is a way for the Lord Jesus to make it very simple for us who are so ignorant. That is a way for the Lord Jesus to say that there must be a union between him and us. That it must be a personal union. It is by that union that the church that is assured of the love of Christ and of the care of Christ for them in a personal way. What does the Lord say? He says that he is the head, and that church, they are his members. Thus, they are one body. We read that no man has ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as Christ the church. For we read, are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. That is a union. And we are very careful to take care of our bodies. So it ought to be. Also, young people, when we are going to take into our body something which is detrimental to our health, then we may be sure that we sin against our own body. And we read that man, he nourisheth and cherisheth his body. Thus, how can it be but a result of sin that man would take upon himself to destroy his own body? That is actually murder, that is suicide, to kill ourselves. That is not so with the Lord. When he is the head, then he is taking care of his church as his body. He says he will feed his church, he will nourish his church, and he will prepare the church to be with him where he is. Thus, a union. That is what the Lord's Supper is speaking of. But then not only that union between Christ and his church, but we read also of another union. That is a union between the members of that body. How is it that the true church is joined together into one body? That is by one faith. It is by one need, that is the need for that broken body and that shed blood. That is what every one of that people testify when they may come forward to partake of that holy supper of the Lord. That is not that we are perfect or righteous in ourselves. No. No, but it is that seeing we cannot find life in ourselves, that we seek it outside of ourselves in him. Thus there is one who has become necessary, one who has become precious, one who has become suitable to every one of the true church. And that is that blessed mediator. And therefore they all eat. They all eat of that one bread. And therefore they all drink of that one cup. There is a communion. A communion among that people. Oh, boys and girls, what do you think would be now the communion between these people? Listen, when we would have here a leper, and next to him a blind man, and next to him a dumb man who cannot speak, and next to him a deaf man, and then one that is lame, and crippled, and so on. You say they are all different. They're all different. Yes, they're all different. But they have one thing that is common to every one of them. And what is that? They all need a physician. They all are helpless. They all cannot cure themselves. And now remember that. Because soon again, we also hope to commemorate that Holy Supper in our midst. And will you remember that when you are young? Then all those people, if they may come there in truth, then they are all the same. Not righteous, no, but that they are all wretched people. That they all have to say how wicked that they are. That they all have to say
that from my side it is a hopeless, hopeless case. And that they are all hoping, and that they are all looking for that one physician, that they may be forgiven by him, that they may be cleansed, that they may be washed by him, and that by him they may be prepared to return into that blessed communion with their Maker and their Creator. Oh, you see the people. They have all the same fears. They have all the same disappointments. And they have all the same tribulations. Oh, they also have the same joys. They also may have the same encouragements. They also may have that same hope. And they are given in their heart all that same faith. And therefore they eat of that same bread. And they drink of that same cup. Oh, does that need of that people ever drive us out? That we may say, Lord, oh, bring that need also in my heart, in my life. Let us sing. Psalter 371. 371, stanzas 1 and 2. Behold, how pleasant and how good that we, one Lord confessing, together dwell in brotherhood, our unity expressing. 'Tis like the oil on Aaron's head, the seal of ordination, that o'er his robes the sweetness shed of perfect consecration. 1 and 2 of Psalter 371.
Thank you.
Where has Christ promised that he will as certainly feed and nourish believers with his body and blood as they eat of this broken bread and drink of this cup? That is, in the institution of the supper. Thus, our fathers say that this is not the institution of man, the imagination of man, something that man has thought up, developed, and introduced into the life of the church, some kind of a meaningless outward ceremony. No. But they are pointing to the fact that it is the institution of the Lord. And this fact is so, so important. It has such a great significance. Why is that so important? Because it is this fact which is giving that bread and that wine its sealing power. The fact that it is the institution of the Lord, that it is His command, what is done and what is spoken at that Holy Supper. So that when rightly instituted, when rightly carried out, that it is carrying the blessing of the promise of the Lord in the life of that true church. When was that supper instituted? We read in the same night in which he was betrayed. Is that not a wonder? Greatest wonder being that the Lord Jesus knew what was coming upon him in that night. He knew what an agony that he soon had to undergo. What was so unbearable for a human being that he had to be sustained by a divine being. And yet, then his thought is upon whom? That is upon his church. Upon his church in the future, when his church must go forward in their life. And then not only his present church, but he is commanding that this is being carried out even to the end of the world. That is, his thought in that night did go out to his children that are in the world even today. We are not told by the Lord Jesus how often that supper must be administered, only that it must be administered time and time again, that it must be repeated. Thus, baptism, that is an ordinance wherein new ones are brought into that church of God. An ordinance of incorporation that can happen only once in the life of a person. And therefore, we are baptized not repeatedly, but we are baptized only once. But the Lord's Supper is different. The Lord's Supper that is instituted as a sacrament of nourishment and of upholding of that true faith in the life of God's true church. And that faith that is not, young people, as you will hear it spoken of in our time,
that it is now on the heights continually. Then the Lord Jesus did not need to institute the Holy Supper of the Lord. But the Lord knew what was going to come against that faith in his people. And therefore he has commanded that over and over again, that his promise may be declared unto his people. Then there are some things that are things that are not in the foreground concerning that Holy Supper. And that we think, for example, of the fact that there is bread and wine. What is now, what may we do with this institution of the Lord? There have been times of war, of famine, and that wine was not to be had. Then our fathers have used something else beside wine, even plain water. The bread in the institution of the Lord's Supper, we know, was unleavened bread. Why? Because the Lord's Supper has directly followed the Passover. And that unleavened bread that was speaking of that time that they had to quickly prepare so that they could leave that land of Egypt. Thus, it had a meaning for the Passover, but it had no meaning in the Lord's Supper. And therefore, we need not use unleavened bread. But we must see what the meaning of that bread is. That is a nourishment for that true church. Therefore, it must be a bread that is nourishing. Ought we then, in our circumstances, to use water? No. Why not? Oh, there is something also in that wine that is speaking of the joy of the Lord. And thus, these kinds of things, then we do not just arbitrarily leave the manner in which it was instituted. But then there are other things which are standing in the foreground in the administration of that Holy Supper. And these things are so important because every part of that supper that has such a significant meaning. Thus, there are symbolic actions that the Lord Jesus has meant for his own church. Then he has taken that bread and that cup in his own hands, and they are those hands by which he has himself wrought everything for the sake of his church. He has blessed that bread. He has given thanks. Oh, what can that church do without that blessing of the Lord? We read that he break that bread in the sight of his disciples. Thus they may see something also with their eyes concerning the meaning of the breaking of that bread, that they may be comforted with the breaking of his body, that he gave that bread himself unto his disciples, as he that gave himself so willingly for his church. And with all this, then he gave also a certain command to his disciples. What did he say? Well, as he gave that bread, then he says to his disciples, take, take. Thus, what a blessed picture that we may have time and time again of the giving by the Lord and the receiving by His people, of that blessed imputation of the merits of Christ for His church, and the receiving of this upon that imputation by His people. Take, He says, and eat, oh, that it may be that you may be joined in one body with me. This, He says, do in remembrance of me, that as you go through the wilderness of this life, that you may always remember that broken body and that poured out blood, that it may be a comfort to your soul in every trial, in every tribulation, and in every attack of that prince of darkness against my own work in your life. Thus, symbolic actions, commands of the Lord Jesus. But we read also of a certain explanation that the Lord gives in the institution of that supper. What does He say? He says, this is my body. This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. Thus, He says, it is a symbol. It is a representation that I am making for your good, congregation. The Holy Supper of the Lord. What is now our use? We say that the partaking of that supper that is not for everyone in the midst of the congregation. But that does not mean that the Holy Supper itself, as being administered in the midst of His church, is not for the whole congregation. But what does it now mean to us? How is that? In that week of preparation, when that Holy Supper will be administered, have we then not a thought? Have we then no concern that we say that is now for the people of the Lord? I am on the outside of it, so I may go about my daily work. And I don't need to examine myself because I know I am on the outside. Congregation, if that may now only be one day bound upon our heart, or what that is, to have to testify that I am on the outside, then remember, then only remember what the Lord Jesus says, that we are going to come one day to a door, that there were five that may go in, and five that stood on the outside. And we read, the door was shut. Shut. Oh, that seriousness of being on the outside may be bound upon our heart, because that door is not yet shut today, that one day will be shut forever and forever. Oh, how is it when that Holy Supper is administered, there are others for whom the Holy Supper is everything. That is their final goal. If I may only come unto that Holy Supper of the Lord, that is all their desire, then we are also wrong. Congregation, this is not the end. This is not in itself to be desired. What is to be desired? The substance. The substance. Thus, do not fret yourself so much about that holy supper of the Lord in the first place. No, but about the God who has instituted that holy supper, that we might miss that God as those who are on the outside. The holy supper of the Lord, on the other hand, what a great blessing for that true church of God. A church congregation that has no power in themselves to exercise that true saving faith. What did David say? He said, "Say unto my soul, Thou art my salvation. Lord, say it unto me. Speak it unto me. Let me hear it, Lord, out of thy own mouth. Lord, wilt thou give me the assurance that I may truly know that I am one of thy own people?" Is that now not the same desire, the same longing, that same need that is dwelling in the heart of that true church, even when the last times have come upon us in this world, as they have to go forward with indwelling sin in their heart? Oh, it is not easy to believe. And why not? Because of carnality, because of worldliness. It is not easy to believe that the Lord would give free and sovereign grace to such a one as I am. No, but the Lord, people of the Lord, is sealing His promise to His church in this admonishment concerning the reality of free and sovereign grace to the chiefest of the sinners. Oh, that is the point over which you so often have so much darkness and in so much ignorance and unbelief, especially concerning yourself. Oh, hard to believe that He sits and eats with publicans and sinners such as I am. And therefore He has administered, He has instituted that holy supper of the Lord. Zechariah also received a sign because of his unbelief. He could not believe the promise of the Lord either. It was too great for him. And he received a sign, actually, in the Lord's disfavor. He received a sign in the way of a rebuke. And now, people of the Lord, what makes us to differ? Then He has not given that sign in the way of His disfavor. He has not given that sign in the way of a rebuke. But He has given that sign because He knows that His church is a church of little faith. And therefore, may that church be given so to use that sign and so to receive that seal for their own comfort and for His honor. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, O instruct us even in the need for that holy supper of the Lord. Oh, everything is coming against thy church, that they must say, "If it be so,
Why am I thus? Lord, thou hast given a measure to combat it, to give that true comfort, that assurance. Oh, may thou help thy people also in the weeks to come. Wilt thou look on us now when we depart from one another, and when we must go again, each one, about the labors of our hands in the week to come. Lord, it is a labor in this world. Oh, may it be for us that the Sabbath day, that is the most blessed day, and that the labors of our hands, they may not be in the foreground, but oh, that we might miss that blessing, that we could not do without it, that it may be the yearning of our heart. Oh, give that new birth. And wilt thou help each one of us in our labors, keep from all danger, accident, evil, and sin, also the children and the young people in the week to come. Spare us, Lord. Forgive all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen. 277, stanzas 1 through 5. Oh, praise and bless the Lord, my soul. His wondrous love proclaim. Join heart and voice and all my powers to bless his holy name. 1 through 5 of Psalter 277.
And bless.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. And the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.